Bill called his parents to wish them a happy new year, and his dad answered the phone. "Well, Dad, what's your New Year's resolution this year?" Bill asked his father. "To make your mother as happy as I can all year long," was his response. And then Bill's mom got on the phone and he asked, "What's your New Year's resolution, Mom?" And she answered, "To see that your dad keeps his New Year's resolution." Notwithstanding the humorous byplay between Bill's mother and father, it's important to note a somewhat hidden truth in the mother's response. To see that your dad keeps his New Year's resolution. Encouragement and accountability are important needs for each and every one of us. Whether that's in keeping New Year's resolutions or being a devoted disciple of Jesus Christ. Far beyond New Year's resolutions, encouragement and accountability are certainly important needs in living out our lives for Christ. I want us to begin by focusing our consideration not on the entire coming year of 2022, but focusing on just the next day, just these next 24 hours. For what we do each and every day really does matter. I recently read that someone once observed that a wasted life is really nothing more than a collection of wasted days. As God gives us life, each one of us starts the new year with the same number of opportunities, 365. 365 daily opportunities that we can choose to either use and invest in eternal things or allow them to drift by, taking no advantage of the gift that we have been given. The difference between those who succeed and those who fail is not based on talent, but it's based on diligence and effort. Diligence and effort. Those are qualities that we as Christians are tasked to live out as disciples of Christ every single day. So one day at a time, 24 hours of time each day, 365 days per year, living with purpose and living with focus, both receiving encouragement and giving encouragement, both benefiting from and aiding others in accountability. I want us to think about that in relationship to our reading from Matthew 28. In that reading, we look at just some of the action that took place on the day of Christ's resurrection. Just as we are starting into a new year, Mary and the other Mary were also embarking into a new time. And the new time for them was the fact that their Lord and their teacher was no longer alive. Jesus was no longer physically present with them. But still, Mary and the other Mary, they were at the tomb that morning. They were there at the tomb where the body of Jesus had been laid on Friday. The two women were there to ritually prepare the body of Jesus for burial. But they were also there as they dealt with their own grief, with their emotions, with the great sense of loss that Jesus was no longer with them. I mean, they had seen Jesus nailed to the cross. They had witnessed his death by crucifixion, and their hope was gone. But still that morning, they went to the tomb. And because they went to the tomb looking for Jesus, the two women heard those amazing words of the angel. "He is not here. He is risen just as he said." I believe that those two women are examples of diligence and effort. They made the effort to go to the tomb. They were diligent in following the custom, the ritual custom of the day, in preparing a body for death. I also wonder whether the two women made the effort to go because of a sense of hope. They remembered what Jesus had taught. They remembered what Jesus had said about that third day. The disciples, they weren't at the tomb, but these two women were. Yes, they were there to make final preparation, but in diligence and in their effort, they were present to see and hear the angel. Diligence and effort, they enable us to learn, they enable us to grow, they enable us to witness the things of God in this world. Mary and the other Mary, while they were present at the tomb, in diligence and in effort, while possibly with thoughts and feelings of hope, we can still also imagine that the two women were there to verify that Jesus really had died. They could have had disbelief. Maybe we had dreamed all this. Maybe it didn't really happen. But they were there as a way of also accepting the news, the bitter news of his earthly death. But not just the death of Jesus, but the death of what Jesus had brought to the earth. His teachings were no longer. He was no longer going to be involved in public ministry. The display of his power through all of those miracles, that was also gone. It was the end of a very real and very personal experience for the ladies of the kingdom of God in their midst. For the two women to hear those unbelievable words, "He is not here, he is risen," just as he said. I hope you can see in those words that the women were there. You can see their diligence and you can see their effort, and that their diligence and their effort enabled them to experience that day. Despite the reality of their situation, of the grief, of the sorrow, they still went to the tomb. They went because of their love and their devotion to the Lord. Their example offers us encouragement and even accountability as we live each day. No matter the day, no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in, we are to live with diligence. We are to live with effort in our worship and our devotion of the Lord. Having heard the amazing words of the angel, a message beyond earthly comprehension, the women were also given a task to do. The angel continued, telling them, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." The women were being sent to encourage the disciples. They were to encourage them with the good news of Christ's resurrection. And then they were going to hold the disciples accountable to what was to happen next, that they were to go to Galilee. Encouragement and accountability. On that day of resurrection, the women and the disciples experienced the truth of the passage that we've heard read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. They were part of the new creation. The creation created through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The new covenant had been established. Jesus said it at the Lord's Supper, "The new covenant in my blood." The old was gone and the new was here. And the full meaning of the verses that we've read from Matthew chapter 9, those verses should come to mind as we read this and think about this. As new creations ourselves, when people come to Christ, repenting of their sin and confessing Christ as Lord, the old self, the old way of life, the old desires, the old days, they have gone by and we put them behind us, because that old way can no longer be a vessel for a Christian to live in. Our daily rituals, our daily routines, our daily focus, our daily goals and our daily desires, they are vastly different from the old way, Because in Christ, he calls us to be a part of the new creation. This is the teaching of Jesus, and it's how he instructs us to live the next 24 hours. And to sum this all up, in short order this morning, I invite you to turn to the sermon outline in the bulletin, which you can find on page 5. I've kind of given you a list of statements that I encourage you to read over in the next 24 hours in the days beyond that. To think about our relationship with Christ. To spend time thinking about our relationship. Not someone else's, but our. Christ desires a vibrant and challenging relationship with us. At 8 o'clock, I got to talk about the explosion of the Sprite. And that was vibrant and it was alive. That's what Christ desires in our relationship with him. Christ desires to be in every aspect of our life. We don't put Christ in the box of our hour of worship. We don't put Christ in our daily, box him up in our daily devotions or only when we pray. But Christ is with us and we are devoted to Christ every second of every minute of every hour. And because of that, Christ makes us a new creation continually. We weren't just made new when we came to our belief in Jesus Christ. We are recreated every morning. And in that recreation, there is change, which is the second part of the outline. With a change of year, prior things pass away as new things appear on the horizon. When we cling to the old ways and the sameness, we are resisting change. Now, I like my days to be orderly. I like my days to be the same. I like to have routine and boundaries. But with that, we can still not resist change. We never know what Jesus is going to call us to do in the next 24 hours. So we can't resist change, but as new creations, we open ourselves up to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's not appropriate to force fit today into yesterday's mold. We just can't kind of figure that out that way. We always have to look with new hearts and new eyes. And so the bottom part of the outline, we have to embrace change. Not resist, but embrace. Because in the birth of Jesus, change began. He is the Messiah, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. It's more than just worshiping the little babe, but he ushered in a new covenant, a new time. And from his birth until his death, many resisted the change that Jesus brought and the change that Jesus taught. And in the resurrection of Jesus, that change continued. As we come to the sacrament this day, that change continues in our hearts and in our souls. For we worship a living deity that brings change to our lives. Now, I like my orderliness, I like my routine, because it makes my day secure. But my security comes, our security comes from our trust and belief in Christ alone. And so the task for us is to ask Jesus to open our eyes so that we can find all he has prepared for us in this precious day of life. Not 2022, but this next 24 hours. May you be open, may we be open to the leading of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. Communion is a joyful feast of the people of God. Christ was born to be the Savior of all, a light of hope to a world, to a people in need. As the wise men came from a far-off land to worship and to adore, so too we come to worship and adore. So let us gather at the table of our Lord for all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who seeks forgiveness and who wish to be united with him and with one another, are invited to receive this sacrament. And as we come to this sacrament, Let us clear our minds. Let us clear our hearts and our thoughts and our souls. Let us confess any sins that we have committed. Let us confess anything that keeps us from a right and true relationship with God. Let us confess together through the unison prayer of confession as shared in our worship bulletin. Let us pray. God, Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Father, hear our prayers as this new year begins. Lord, we confess the sins that we thought or done, seeking your heavenly forgiveness, seeking to be cleansed, to be washed anew through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Through this sacrament, may your Spirit transform our souls and our lives and strengthen our relationship with you. Amen. As we confess our sins in prayer, through the faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and through the love of the Lord, Scripture promises forgiveness of sins to those who confess and trust and believe. Colossians 1:13 informs us, "For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are redeemed through his blood." Amen. We remember the night in which Jesus was betrayed, that he had first gathered in the upper room with his disciples. And while they were at the table, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, Jesus took the cup. And after giving thanks, he said to his disciples, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, we pray that you would bless this bread and bless this fruit of the vine. Bless each one as we receive these elements in remembrance of him who is the true light of the world. As we begin this new year, as we begin this new day, may the holiness and meaning of this sacrament fill us with your presence. May each person be blessed with your spirit of hope, peace, joy, and love. Amen. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven, remembering him, take and eat. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation, remembering him, take and drink. Thank you. May this Holy Communion be the living example of God's love and acceptance of his people as promised through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the true light of the world. Amen.
Let us rise as we're able and join together in singing our closing hymn, number 166, We Three Kings, thinking about the diligence and effort that they showed.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. May you walk forth in the power and the authority of his holy name. Amen.